this evening, Luke chapter 22. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 22. We're going to read from a familiar passage and story, just two verses of scripture, verses 31 and 32 this evening. Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. Praise the Lord. The gospel reads, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Let's read that together, shall we, in concert, audible voice. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Father, thank you for the presence of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us ears to hear. I pray they will be open to your word. Let us hear the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit tonight in the midst of your church. And help us, Lord, to be able to apply these truths to our lives. In Jesus' name, all God's people shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to draw your attention to just a few words here for a few minutes. Actually, maybe about six words. That's in verse 31. They are the words of Christ spoken to Peter. Satan hath desired to have you. Say that with me. Satan hath desired to have you. And I believe that Peter was not the only one that Satan has desired and is desiring right now. So with these six words as my premise, I want to speak tonight on the subject of he wants you really, really bad. Turn to your neighbor and say, he wants you really, really bad. Now I know this is not a scriptural image of our enemy. Hello? He's much more vicious, and I could have used a lot of other photos, but we've got young, small children in here, and I don't want them to have that image burned in their minds and try to sleep tonight. So bear with me. That's why I put more of a cartoonish figure, okay? So everybody with me on that? Understand that. According to the Chicago Tribune, in the summer of 1994, a love-struck Brazilian artist by the name of, I'm going to try my best, Marcio da Silva. Now, I'm not Spanish, so I can't roll my R's. But he was devastated over the breakup of a four-year dating relationship with his girlfriend, Katia, I believe, or Katia. And he attempted to win back her love by showing her how much he wanted her back and how much he wanted her to be his forever girl. So the gesture of devotion that he decided upon was to crawl on his hands and knees from his place to hers, the distance of 9 miles. So with pieces of car tires tied to his hands and knees, this 21-year-old man, young man, shuffled along for 14 hours before he reached her home in Santos, Brazil. He was cheered on by motorists. He was applauded by those who passed by. He became quite the love-driven spectacle. Obviously, word reached his girlfriend that he was slowly approaching her house or apartment. Then finally, when he reached the end of his marathon of love, totally exhausted, his 19-year-old ex-girlfriend, woman of his dreams, guess what? She wasn't impressed. How do I know? Because she intentionally left her house before he got there. She didn't even want to see him. Wow. If she had not made it clear that she was done with him before that, she certainly made it clear with her actions then. My point is, he wanted her to be his girl really, really bad. Don't you think? I mean, you don't take 14 hours and crawl 9 miles just to say, good to see you, have a nice day. So for a few minutes tonight, let me remind us, Satan wanted Peter really, really bad. And he wants you really, really bad. I'd say he wants us bad enough, he would probably do the 9 mile crawl if he had to. But hopefully some of us got some news for him tonight. He may want us really, really bad. But how many can say, by God's grace? I said, by God's grace, we'll be faithful. We will not abandon our Redeemer. Hello? I just began to think on those six words where it says, Satan hath desired to have you. And I started thinking recently about the great lengths that Satan and the powers of hell will go to capture souls. And I just started thinking of a few links that he goes to. Have you ever wondered how much he influences people to spend on advertising his devices? He influences people to spend, I was reading this week, they spend close to $2 billion every year here in America just in advertising for alcohol alone. 2015, the alcoholic beverage market was valued at $1,344 billion U.S. dollars worldwide. That's staggering. To think about how many souls he has claimed through the vice of alcohol. And how many know it's well worth it to him? That's just a fraction of how bad he wants souls. Another example, New York Times Magazine ran a cover story called There's No Business Like Porn Business. Pornography is a big business, 10 to 14 billion in annual sales. The author of that article suggested that pornography is bigger than any of the major league sports. It said that porn is no longer a sideshow to the mainstream. It is the mainstream. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic, demonic video is being created here in the U.S. That's how bad he wants souls. Hello. He wants souls so bad that he's willing to dominate Hollywood, dominate the movie industry. Now the global film industry is worth $136 billion. That's as of last year, 2018. He wants us so bad that he makes sure that over 4,000 churches here in the U.S. will close their doors and die this year. That means around 75 to 100 churches will close just this week here in the U.S. A large number of abandoned churches have become wineries and bars. Others have been converted into hotels, beds, bed and breakfast, tattoo parlors. A few have been transformed into entertainment venues such as indoor playgrounds for children, dance studios, laser tag arenas, and skate parks. Listen, structures that once served as symbols of hope and the gospel in their community now seem like little more than emblems of American youthful entertainment. All the while, the enemy of our soul stands at their shuttered door and celebrates their demise. Why? Because that's how bad he wants souls. He wants souls so bad that he makes sure that 250 pastors leave the ministry every month. 3,000 or more a year due to moral failure, burnout, or irreconcilable contention in their churches. That's actually a conservative count. I've heard other resources give a much higher statistic. The devil makes sure that 80% of those who enter the ministry, this is what one study found, 80% of those who enter the ministry will leave the ministry in 5 years. The devil makes sure that 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce, according to one study. He makes sure that 70% of pastors chronically struggle with depression. That's because he wants souls really, really bad. He causes 2.7 million church members to become inactive every year. That translates into the realization that people are leaving the church in droves. If you go back and look at the dawn of the 1900s, there was a ratio of 27 churches per 10,000 people here in America. As compared to the close of the century, when it came over and rolled over to the year 2000, there was only 11 churches per 10,000 people in America. What's happened? Given the declining numbers and the closures of churches as compared to the new church starts, there should have been 38,000 new churches commissioned to keep up with the population growth. But the United States now ranks third, following China and India, in the number of people who are not professing Christians. In other words, the U.S. is becoming an ever-increasing unreached people group. Half of all churches in the U.S. did not add any new members to their rosters in a 2-year time period. Sadly, this trend is anything but encouraging, but it shows us just how bad Satan wants souls. And he's attempting to get what he wants. He's willing to work overtime because he wants them really bad. Daily, hourly, every minute and second, the devil is seeking to destroy souls. This is just a glimpse into how bad he wants them. If the temptations of the world and the struggle of the flesh within our own hearts isn't enough, Satan is working overtime to see our destruction, see our downfall, to see our weakening He has, how many know the devil doesn't have any compassion? He doesn't care how hard life is for you. He doesn't care all the things you've gone through. He rejoices in our difficulties and only adds to them and wants to add more to them. He wants us so bad that he has perfected his leadership style. Scripture best describes it as being cunning and crafty. He is also more powerful, I think, oftentimes than we give him credit for. Therefore, a being that needs to be guarded against. He needs to be fought against. We need to stand our guard. Listen, he has the experiences of all kinds of evil on his side, as well as the fact that he never grows tired. How many know that? He never grows tired, never gives up spewing his hatred for Christ, never gets tired of spewing his hatred for the church and for the bride of Christ. He hates us because we have escaped his hand. He hates us because we oppose his kingdom. He hates us because we oppose his government. He hates us because we resist sin and we pray and we strive to live holy. He seeks our destruction. So he plants doubts and lies in our minds, just like he did all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And one of the biggest doubts that he plants in our mind is about the goodness of God. He makes us think thoughts like, how can a good God possibly let some of these horrible and hard things happen to me? We must affirm our belief, church, in the sovereignty of God and put those kind of questions over in the we'll understand it better by and by file. Hello? The devil hates it when through the light of his fiery darts in the midst of the glare of the battle and all the smoke, he hates to look through that fog and see us still standing in our faith. Dave Reaver, how many's heard that name? Dave Reaver was a young man on fire for the Lord and was among was known among the his army platoon in Vietnam as Preacher Dave. He stood for the Lord, and his buddies knew that. And one day, a grenade went off just a few feet, or maybe, I can't remember, but maybe it was a few inches from him. And it burnt most of his body and disfigured him for life. And he said at the moment that happened, he did his best. He said it took him a little bit, but he was able to stand to his feet. And he yelled out, and he said, God, I still believe in you. Praise God. His testimony of healing and recovery has touched me. Listen, Satan wants us so bad that he fights us and tries to get us to disbelieve God. Ephesians chapter 6, is it? Verse 12. Satan wants us so bad that he fights an all-out war against us constantly. You know one thing? How many has ever met a lazy person? One thing the devil is not, he's not lazy, is he? He's very active, roaming, seeking whom he can destroy. He has an arsenal full of tactics, doesn't he? And will not hesitate to do whatever it takes to maim our faith. He wants us so bad that he'll tempt us with immorality of all sorts. In person and how about online? The temptation abounds, and Satan will make sure to set that temptation before our eyes. He would love nothing more than to take our moral purity. Listen to me, young people. He would love nothing more than to take your moral purity. Listen to me, husbands and wives. He would love nothing more than to ruin your marriage. He wants us so bad that he will try to cause disunity among Christians in the church. Beware of even the small conflicts that arise between a brother and sister. The devil is well skilled at using such things to erode fellowship and breed discontentment. Listen, he loves to see families feud and fight like the Hatfields and McCoys. Help me preach for just a few minutes. He wants it so bad that he will slander us before God. It's mentioned in Revelation chapter 12. I'm talking about how bad Satan wants us. Over and over, he will throw our sins before the throne of God, in effect to discredit us. While he will not succeed, he won't give up trying. He wants us so bad that he will try to do that, and then he'll try to take you through the pride of, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about pride is a dangerous sin because it gives birth to almost any and every other sin. So Satan will spend a lot of time trying to convince us of the fact that self is king, okay? He wants us so bad that he will try to cripple our faith through avenues like fear, and he will tempt us to fear earthly things that will cause us to take our eyes off of the heavenly things. He directs our focus away from Christ and onto the circumstance. And he wants us to so much that he will try a sidetrack with good things when we should be focused on the best things. How many know sometimes we're easily distracted spiritually? Distracted by the new and the shiny things that the world has to offer. Therefore, Satan will use the beautiful things, even good things, to draw our attention and our devotion from Christ. And he will do a lot of damage to cripple us in our quest for intimacy with God, in our journey towards personal holiness. But I'm thankful. I know I've painted a bleak picture right now, but I want to say this. I'm thankful that Peter was not left to slug it out with the devil alone. I said Peter was not left defenseless. And guess what, church? Neither are we. Notice Peter's defense against the devil's wish and against the devil's desire was that Peter had an intercessor praying for him. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, I have prayed for you. In my mind's eye, I just see Peter. When the Lord looks at Peter and says, Peter, the devil has desired you. I would just think Peter gets this mortified look in his faith. But then the Lord sees that and says, but don't worry, I've prayed for you. Oh, somebody rejoice in that right there. Hallelujah. You know, we have record throughout the Gospels of several of Peter's not so fine moments. How many remember, you know, he could be quite arrogant, self-sufficient. His trust was often in his own strength. Yet Peter's strength would give out, and Christ knew it. Satan would attack and test Peter. He would sift Peter. But Satan would never claim Peter for good. Why? Was it because Peter was strong? No. It was because Jesus was. I said, Jesus was strong. And he said, Peter, I have prayed for you. It was Christ's prayers that crippled Satan. Like Peter, our faith will wane, our resolve will waver, but we don't have to fall away, church. I said, we don't have to fall away. We are kept by the prayers of Christ. We are shielded by the power of God. Listen, how many know that's no small power? It is the power of a living and ever-present Savior who is praying for us. Christ told Peter, he said, I got a plan for you. It wasn't a plan that didn't have any bumps and bruises, but it was a plan, and Christ was going to pray him through the plan. Listen, I was thinking this afternoon, I'm not going to be long. When a death-defying Savior prays that your faith does not fail, guess what? It's not going to fail. Every prayer of Christ is answered and paid for by His blood. Praise God. There is no greater Christian assurance than that. Satan's greatest desire is to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Don't think of that sifting. Maybe you're thinking, ladies, of sifting flour when you read this. When God talks about sifting wheat in the scripture, he's referring to a very, culturally, it was a very violent action used to separate the grain from the stalk and the chaff. It literally means, I believe this goes back to the Hebrew, it literally means tearing the wheat apart, sifting. It means to beat and to bend and to shake the wheat stalks so violently that the valuable grain shakes loose from the shaft, which is worthless. And if you have been a believer probably for more than 24 hours, you have no doubt experienced a spiritual sifting process. But there's a difference in what happens in the life of a Christian come that sifting process between the life of a Christian and the life of a non-believer. God, how many know God doesn't waste any of that sifting? Hallelujah. I come to believe that everything we go through in life, God takes it and He will use it to refine us, to change us, to mold us, to chisel us, to transform us, to correct us, to chasten us, to challenge us, to grow us. Listen, here's what God is doing. He is using all of those things to shape and to form us into who we are. And the moment, I was thinking this afternoon, the moment we accept Christ, listen, the devil puts his bullseye on us. He is coming after us to sift us. We will go through the process of sifting again and again and again until we come out on the other side, Job said, pure as gold. Hallelujah. In essence, Christ was saying to Peter, listen, Pete, Satan doesn't think your faith is real. He thinks if he overwhelms you with temptations, if he overwhelms you with burdens and tests and painful trials, that your faith is going to self-destruct and fall to the ground as worthless chaff. Oh, but the devil, listen, he was in for some news. Listen, how many know the devil's not ignorant? He's not ignorant. Somehow he understood that Peter was going to be set apart to bear some real fruit in the New Testament church. And he knew that God would give Peter the power on the day of Pentecost to stand up and the boldness to preach and 3,000 souls come to the faith. And he knew that God was going to give Peter the authority that he would be used against the kingdom of darkness. And that is the very reason Satan wants to sift you and I, because he knows that you have been set apart by God and no doubt prepared by God's own hands to be a blessing. And oftentimes the greater your potential for God's kingdom, the more severe the sifting will be. Does that make sense? To put it simply, you're on Satan's hit list. He wants to sift and distract you away from your purpose and your ministry, your gifts and your assignment. He wants to sift and he wants to woo you from away from God and away from church and away from prayer and away from the abundant life. And the list could go on. Perhaps like Peter, you have been shaken and sifted.
recently?
If so, listen, here's one way to look at it. You ought to rejoice, knowing that you have such a noteworthy reputation in hell.
Hello.
Satan wouldn't be after you if you weren't a hazard to his evil plans. He only seeks to sift those who threaten his work. He always goes after the tree with the most potential to bear fruit. And listen, he goes after the believer who is making an impact for the kingdom of God and the one who is a real threat to his kingdom. It's the image of God in you that so enrages all of hell. And listen, it's not your gift or your car, or your title or your material wealth he's after. He's after your yoke. Breaking, devil-destroying anointing that God has placed on you. And just as he did for Peter, Christ, here's the good thing. He is stepping in to intercede. He is stepping in to pray for us that our faith fail not. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's kind of huge. I'm warning you, I'm almost done. When the Savior prays that your faith does not fail, it's not going to fail. Because when Christ intercedes for us, it's not just any old call for help, but it's specific intercession on our behalf. Because others, they may be praying, but they don't know exactly what you're going through. But how many know Jesus does? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the very God of the universe prays for us. Now, when Jesus intercedes for us, it's not just any old call for help, like I said. And his prayers are not only powerful and effective, but they're what's called omniscient. He knows in advance. He knew what you would be going through before you knew it. Oh, help me preach for just a minute. He knew in advance everything that you would be going through. He knew what would happen to Peter. He knew the denial that was just around the corner. He knew the lies. He knew the cursing. Jesus saw it all beforehand, and he knew exactly what Peter needed. Jesus knew exactly how to pray for Peter. And guess what? He knows exactly how to pray for you. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Isn't it interesting that the Lord didn't pray that Peter wouldn't fall? No. He prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. He did not want his faith to shipwreck in ruins. And in the end, Peter's faith did not fail, although Peter did fall. Do you see the difference? Why? Because the Master's prayer. And as long as you're alive on planet Earth, you're going to face trouble, trial, problems, pressures of life that might otherwise shake your faith. But because Jesus is praying for you, your faith doesn't have to be shattered. It can be unshakable. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faith. When we look back over our life and we make it to heaven, Scripture and the old song says, when we make it, when we've climbed Mount Zion, listen, we will know that our help has come from the Lord. Stand with me. I'm going to close. Told you I'm not going to be long. And we're going to know that somebody prayed for us. And it's nice. We're called to pray for one another. But listen, we're going to know that the one somebody that meant more than any others is that our Lord has prayed for us. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad he took the time. I'm glad that I was on his mind. Why? Because if God be for me, who can be against me? Say that with me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Anybody in here felt the shifting of the sifting lately? We've experienced it as a ministry, as a church. We've experienced a sifting. But I want to remind you tonight, Jesus is praying for you. We have a powerful ally in our corner. So yes, Satan wants us really, really bad. But I want you to know Christ wants us more. I told you some of the ways Satan shows how bad he wants us. He's willing to spend a lot on us. Huh? I picture Satan on one side with a big old bag of money. He's willing to pay. But I see Christ on the other side. And there's the cross, and there's the blood.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Satan never, never offered his life for ours. But Jesus did. I said, but Jesus did. That's the kind of intercessor we have. Father, here tonight, there's folks that are going through a deep valley. There's folks that have experienced storms just this week. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional and spiritual. Lord, I'm so thankful. While we know the truth that Satan sifts us, He's desired us. The true fact is that you're praying for us. And you're interceding to the Father. And Lord, we've come to say thank you. And no matter how bad hell wants us, heaven wants us more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the struggle may be real, but the victory is already won. The victory is already won. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, may that forever be etched on our hearts and minds tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody shout glory, hallelujah, amen. Glory, hallelujah. I want you to worship Him, praise Him right now. You've got an intercessor. He's praying for you right now. He's praying for you right now. Young people, I don't know what you're going through, but He's praying for you right now. Mom and Dad, it doesn't matter what you're going through, but He's praying for you right now. Grandmother, grandfather, doesn't matter what's happening in your world, in your financial or physical realm, He's praying for you right now. Hallelujah. Reach out to Him. Reach out to Him and say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for that intercession. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for strengthening my heart. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody's getting strength right now. Somebody's going to leave tonight having your spirit bolstered and strengthened in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah, He's praying for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's power in our prayers. But oh, hallelujah, think of the powerful prayer meetings you've ever been in. Think of how the prayer meeting that Jesus is praying for you, think how powerful that is. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's praying for you. That's it. Reach out to Him. He's praying for you. Your faith is not going to fail. Oh, hallelujah. Your faith is not going to fail.
You are fighting for me.
Glory, 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 glory.
Why
don't you worship Him? Just slip out of your seat and come to the front if you'd like and just worship Him. And just thank Him for praying for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You are my victory. victory.
Glory, 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 glory. Let him strengthen your spirit tonight.
For me.
Let him strengthen your spirit tonight. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
I won't let the enemy.
Oh, I feel his presence.
Tell me what I can see.
Oh, glory to God.
I'll claim the promise of the King. You are my victory. You are my victory. You're praying for me. You are fighting for me.